The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Archie Wilson, this Australian who is in the US playing college football for the state of Nebraska, or a university team in that part of the world. And after a match last week, he was asked by a reporter what it's like to be away from his family. And he broke down crying in the press conference, saying that he really, really missed his family. And listen, there was some support for him, but there was plenty of negative comments in his direction, and most of them a version of, would this fella ever man up? And one wonders whether we are actually still dealing with that in the world of 2025. It appears we are, if these comments are anything to go by. Alan Quinlan is with me, former Munster and Irish rugby international, mental health advocate as well. Quinny, good to talk to you as always. Were you surprised there was such negativity directed towards this young fella?
Not overly surprised, Kieran. I think, look, that's the power of the prism of social media. People feel obliged to comment on lots of stuff, and look, it's everyone's opinion, they're entitled to their opinion, but it didn't really surprise me that people would view that as maybe, you know, as you say, having to man up and stuff like that. It's in no way a sign of any sort of inner strength or anything like that. It's an emotional response to a stress that he's feeling, upset that he's away from his family. He's a kid. He's 18 years of age. He's 19 the next day, I think. So he's still very young, far away from home. And it's a difficult situation for him. So I wasn't surprised by some of the negative comments. I was very heartened by the positive comments in various different media outlets on social media, where people were supporting him and saying, God, I want to give him a hug, or that's so brave of him. And it wasn't as if he planned it. He just got emotional. And I think emotion is something that's intrinsically linked to, you know, mental health and people kind of looking after themselves and maybe sharing their emotions or vulnerability. So I thought it was really brave of him and a real sign of strength, not weakness.
One wonders whether those who commented negatively would have done so had he cried on the pitch. It seems like certain crying is okay. You know, you can cry if you lose a match or something. Because I think, and I don't know what you think, in my mind it's like they associate that with disappointment or sadness, and that's an okay emotion. But if you're crying about missing your family, well, that's kind of weakness, and we don't like that.
Yeah, it's very strange. I think, look, a lot of the time it's from people who, if you look at their timelines and social media, they're critiquing lots of different things going on in the world. And again, that's everyone's choice. But, you know, you think of Lionel Messi when he retired and finished up with Barcelona, he was crying on the field. And as you say, that's kind of acceptable. That's a lovely emotion. That's a lovely moment. Look at Salah for Liverpool last Friday night against Bournemouth when they were singing Diogo Jota's song. He was crying. That's all strength, and it's just strange from people that they would view it that way. But it's an ignorance as well to, you know, probably I did have that perception myself, probably when I was playing rugby, that God, you can't show any weakness or vulnerability, because if people see that, they'll think you're weak and you're not able to perform. And I often worried about my teammates, and I hid my emotions at times because, God, what's going to happen in the match the weekend if they think, you know, they saw me crying during the week or something upset me, you know. So we've probably lived in a time and a culture of not showing your emotions, you know what I mean? And obviously when you're a sports person playing a physical sport like that kid is, Archie Wilson, you know, he showed emotion. He didn't plan it. And I think that was brilliant to show that emotion. And, you know, he'll be a beacon for young people that it is okay to cry. It's not, you shouldn't be judged negatively on it. In fact, it's, you're releasing that kind of tension or stress in your body. And for me, I thought it was a lovely moment, and it was real and it was human, and it just shows the human side of sport and of life.
Dylan Hand is with us as well, Quinny, News Talk reporter. Dylan, I don't want to upage Quinny now or anything, but he mentioned when he played, and that's a few years ago. So you're more recently kind of involved in sports and being in dressing rooms. Is it the same as it ever was in terms of that attitude, or has it changed?
I think attitudes towards mental health, particularly among young men, have changed, especially over the last few years. I've been in various dressing rooms, and it does change dressing room to dressing room. But I think, to be honest, I agree with what Quinny was saying there. It does all boil down to social media. you know, social media offers us a lens to view society through, but unfortunately it is a broken lens. A lot of people, just for example, over the weekend, obviously Oasis were playing in Dublin, playing to 82,000 people over Saturday and Sunday. And I came across my own feed was a lot of young people, young men in particular, sharing videos of them becoming emotional at this concert. Obviously, they haven't played since 2009. Plenty of people were really looking
forward to it. No, I did have a problem with that. I did not them showing emotion. Just please stop sharing this on social. I just got sick of Oasis, and I'm kind of off. I'm getting off the point here a little bit. But if you've got any more Oasis videos, it's a public service announcement, and you haven't posted them yet, please don't bother. Keep them to yourself. I've seen them anyway. Sorry, Dylan.
Of course, they should be commended in essence for showing that vulnerable side to him. But unfortunately, I feel like the comments, particularly young men on young men, they tear each other down, and I think that's born out of more resentment than it is, you know, actually having any sort of issue with the person, because obviously on social media you don't know the person that's posting.
Tara Logan Buckley is with us as well, Dr. Tara Logan Buckley, clinical psychologist. Tara, what's behind it? The kind of the desire somebody feels when they see a young lad like Archie Wilson crying about missing his family to post underneath it and say, "Man, is it from a place of genuine belief that he's showing a sign of weakness and he shouldn't as an athlete or as a man?"
Well, there's a few different things here. If we break it down, first of all, to men showing a vulnerability, we can talk about the sports in a second, but just men in general showing a vulnerability and why that gets attacked. There's a few different reasons. The first thing is we all have cultural scripts. So from childhood, all boys hear, don't cry, be tough, man up. And what these messages teach is that like emotions like sadness, fear, tenderness are unmanly. So when a man does show them, it clashes with what we feel the stereotype is. And what happens is people respond with mockery or discomfort. So if we think about even the term discomfort there, many people feel really, really uneasy when men show deep emotion. And simply that's because they're not used to it. So what happens is that discomfort actually gets projected outwards as either ridicule or whatever it is. And instead of supporting someone, all they do is mock them. And there's also kind of like this theory called peer policing, where men often police each other's masculinity. Sometimes, look, in the dressing room, it's done through banter or jokes or put downs and things like that as well. But actually what for some people is, it's to punish the men who step outside the normal social norms and stereotypes that were meant to have on men and masculinity as well. So actually, what a lot of it is, it's to do with people's own discomfort, and they're not able to sit with that discomfort. So instead of learning, well, what's going on here? Why do I have these biases? Where do these stereotypes come from? They can't handle that and ask those questions, so they have to throw it back on the other person.
So then what do we need to, is it about then, with that cohort of people, redefining what masculinity is or explaining it in a way that is different?
Absolutely. So if we think about traditional masculinity, it's often celebrated like, you know, through strength, toughness, sense, like self-resilience, courage, loyalty and all those things as well. And what happens is they become really, really rigid rules that are set onto men. And that's why men have to feel like they always have to man up. They have to solve things on their own and that they have to bottle things up as well. So what it really means is that we need to expand the definition of actually what masculinity is. It also needs to have strength. It needs to have vulnerability. It needs to have courage, connection, all of these really, really important things. And really realize that real strength means being flexible. It means asking for support when needed and also being able to show up for yourself and for others as well. When we think about male mental health and, you know, particularly here in Ireland, you know, the statistics are quite shocking. Around 80% of people who unfortunately lose their lives to suicide are by males. And, you know, that's particularly with young men as well. And they struggle an awful lot. And a lot of it is because they don't realise that they're suffering. Because if we think about low mood or depression, that shows up very, very differently for males than what it does for men. So it might look like they push themselves harder at work, they might drink more, they might take substances, they might have more aggression, irritability, they might take a little bit more risk or they might withdraw instead of having sadness. So it's really also starting to look at male mental health and looking at those earlier signs and trying to get in for early intervention, because unfortunately, when men hit crisis, they are the ones who take, I suppose, the real stronger means to try to deal with that crisis.
Quinny, you've been, you know, an advocate or a voice in this space now for quite a few years, you know, since you were open about your own journey and you documented it in your book and everything else. Like, have we certainly got better about talking about it and having these types of conversations that we're having now. But are we actually better in real terms in dealing with this? I said maybe we possibly are, given, as you said, there was a lot of positivity directed towards the young fella as well as amongst the negativity.
Yeah, yeah. As Dylan said, our attitudes have changed dramatically, you know, and that's a positive thing. You know, I'm involved with Tackle Your Feelings with Rugby Players Ireland now, a body who support, a professional body who support rugby players in Ireland. And, you know, we have a brilliant program. It's called Tackle Your Feelings. We go into schools and try and educate teachers and kids about vulnerability and, you know, getting the balance between understanding what toughening up is, and sometimes we need tough times and tough situations, and it does make us stronger. Masculinity isn't about ignoring that and feeling that you can show vulnerability because you're not going to be successful. I think it's just getting the balance right and just being human and normal. And I think the change that's happened and our attitudes around that has been really heartwarming for me. That, you know, just because, you know, I would consider myself very tough and very resilient and very physical in what I did and made lots of sacrifices. But I kind of had an emotional problem with that vulnerability and, you know, dealing with stress and ups and downs. And that's just life. Yeah. And I think what that kid did last week, it wasn't mental health problems. He was sad because he was missing his family. It was a human response. It was a natural response. And it just kind of came out. You know, he's a kid who doesn't have this media training or anything like that. And I thought it was just lovely to see the human side. That doesn't mean that this guy is weak.
Yeah.
Some of the comments I read were, oh, God, wait till he plays and this guy isn't going to be tough enough for it and all that. It's absolutely nothing to do with that. I honestly, some of the toughest and most powerful and inspiring people that I've met in my life are emotional, and they've cried in front of me and we've cried about things together.
Yeah.
And some, you know, like I'll give you an example. In 2011-12 when I retired, you know, we went out end of season, lots of people leaving. And it's tough when you're with a team and a group of guys and people are moving on. And we probably, that was a very successful era for Munster. A lot of strong professional rugby players, and everyone was crying and sobbing in that room that day. You know what I mean? And there was no weak fellas in there. It was all just natural emotion that comes out. And it's just getting the balance right. As Tara said as well, you know, there's a misconception around that, shown that emotion, and of course it is linked to mental health, and we're trying to get more people to talk and show their vulnerability, because that's a pathway of recovery. You know,
I wonder, Dylan, sometimes is the pushback from some against the kind of the idea of redefining masculinity, that and I don't want to get into the whole Andrew Tate's of this world thing, but it kind of veers close to that territory. Some of that pushback is because they interpret these conversations then as being about one or the other. It's kind of all vulnerability or all resilience. And as Quinny says there, no, like it's and as Tara said as well, it's about redefining it. So, like, you know, both are catered for. You can be, as Quinny says, tough as nails, and a lot of those lads in the dressing room, him included, were. But it doesn't mean you don't have to be vulnerable, and vice versa.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point there. But it just it's obviously easier to talk about having a broken leg than it is to talk about having a broken heart or have a broken mind. In particular, what I mean by that is masculinity as a whole it's more than just a feeling. It has to be a conversation that boils down to education. In, you know, even this week, this Friday, we have 60,000 plus students waiting for their Leaving Cert results that maybe have never felt this feeling of apprehension. I know I had mine back in 2022 and I'd never really felt that before. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to process the emotion. So I think it all boils down to education on top of social media as well.
Listen, thanks a million for coming into us, Dylan. Dylan Hand, News Talk reporter, Alan Quinn, and former Munster star and Irish rugby international, mental health advocate as well, Dr. Tara Logan Buckley, clinical psychologist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.